Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And that is launched out to deep left field. Big fly for Mike Trout. This is ground ball to second base. Rhett Hinkle falls down, picks it up, fires the first. The Angels have no hit. The Seattle Mariners. It's gone. Big fly for Anthony Rendon.
Hey guys, I'm Alex Curry.
This is Joe Adele here with the Los Angeles Angels.
This is Brandon Marsh.
This is Chris Rodriguez.
You're listening to the All Angels Podcast.
And welcome to another edition of the All Angels Podcast. I am Dan Garcia. I am live not only on our Facebook, our YouTube, our Twitter, but also on our Instagram. So if you're out there watching, go ahead and leave a comment or question in the comments, and I'll try to get to them as best I can. So let's review this weekend. Obviously, we do this every Sunday, review the weekend series. This weekend, Angels had, I think, two very winnable games this weekend. One they actually cashed in on, that was today, Sunday. But the first one I think they could have easily won was Friday. You know, with Oakland coming to town, Oakland is a first-place team in the division. I think the Angels had to play a really good game to beat them. And I felt for the most part, at least the very early part of that game on Friday, they did play a very good game. A little bit of a question, or not question, but concern because of Jose Quintana on the mound, not necessarily knowing what you're going to get from Jose, but Jose actually did very well this game. He gave up a home run in the third inning to Mark Canna. That was pretty much, honestly, like his only blemish. Like I mentioned, not a bad game by Jose Quintana. Mark gets a home run in the first, so Oakland's, or in the third, so Oakland's up 1-0. But Jose Iglesias answers back with his fourth home run of the year, and that ties the game at 1. And it would pretty much stay that way all the way until the sixth inning. And this is kind of a little bit where Jose got in a little bit of trouble. He ends up getting the first out of the inning. And then in the sixth inning, actually, he gets Laureano gets a double. Olsen pops out. Chad Pinder single. So now there's two on with one out. And this is where they bring in Mike Myers, which I liked that move off the bat. I know the results weren't great for at that time. But thinking about it, I like Mike Myers here because it's a high leverage situation. And I've talked about use some of these guys, your better bullpen guys, in high leverage situations. And Mike Myers has proven at times to be a quality high leverage guy. So what happens is he gives up a double. So those two runs come around to score that were originally on Quintana. So Quintana's book was closed at that point. He went 5 1/3, 6 hits, 3 earned runs. And remember, one of them he gave up on a home run. The other two were from the double that came off of the Mike Myers pitch. He ended up walking only 3, striking out 4. So again, Jose's kind of getting a little bit better. Jose is, I don't want to say turn the corner because I think that's kind of a little bit too positive right now, but I think he is getting better. He's just having some bad luck with, you know, leaving guys on base, coming out of the games, and the bullpen giving up those inherited runners. So it looks really bad on his ERA. But again, if you look at the whole game on this one on Friday, he technically only gave up 1 run off that home run. Yeah, he kind of put Myers in a bad situation, but you would hope that Myers, being a high leverage guy, would be able to answer that call a little bit better and not give up that double, not give up those runs that he inherited. But that's what happened. So they go up, the A's do, 3-1. And you know what? And in this game, if you watched it or you were there, I really felt like, and this is one of the reasons why I felt Oakland kind of was almost trying to give this away. They ran into a lot of outs. Granted, there were some really good defensive plays for the Angels in this game. Jose Rojas was playing right field. He had two great throws. One was a relay off a double that threw, I believe, Olsen out at the plate, saved a run there in the early innings, and later on, gunning out a guy, going home on a sack fly. Both plays were really good, and it helped the Angels, you know, stop big innings that could have made it a lot worse. And they ran it, like I said, the Oakland A's ran into a lot of outs, and it kind of played into the Angels' hands in that way. So again, Angels down 3-1 going into the bottom of the sixth. Jared Walsh, a guy that we've mentioned over and over and over again, that this guy needs to step up with Trout's absence in the lineup. He now needs to be that third guy behind Ohtani and Rendon, and he hits a home run. You know, unfortunately, it seems like a lot of his home runs, and even today, were with no one on base, and that's kind of unfortunate. But he hits a single solo blast that gives it a 3-2 lead for the Oakland still. But then Juan Lagares comes in, triples off a line drive, and I think I was there. Me and my wife were at the game. This place went absolutely nuts. It went, you know, working its way back. You kind of already knew what the tone of the game was because, again, Trout's out. You give up that lead. It was tied. You give up the lead. But now they worked their way back in the sixth inning, the late innings, and you kind of feel better about your situation. So Lagares triples on a line drive to right. You got Ward and Rojas score. So now the Angels are up 3-4. And this is where I kind of think a little bit of the Madden situation and the bullpen situation kind of shows its head again. Again, Myers comes in for Quintana in the sixth inning, gives up that hit that scored it two, but then gets out the rest of the inning unscathed. Bottom of the sixth, like I mentioned, you're able to take the lead again and able to put yourself in a good situation going into the seventh. You would think 7, 8, 9, obviously you use Myers. You would think you would use Walton and Iglesias, maybe Strickland in those situations going into this game. But Mike Myers stays in the game in the seventh, ends up reaching on a throwing error by, and for as many people as, and I was one of them, thought his defense would not skip a beat going from spring training to the regular season. Iglesias' defense has struggled so much so far, and it's kind of mind-boggling to think that, you know, in spring training, he was absolutely killing it. He was absolutely, you know, it seemed like anything around him he was getting and taking and turning it into an easy out or making it look easy. And that has not been the case this year. His defense, his offense has seemed to be turning around, hits another home run this weekend, a couple home runs this weekend, key hits. But it just seems like his defense has been really struggling, and that seemed like it was going to be his part that he's going to give to the team the best. The one part where you can really depend on was the defense. But Mark Canna gets the second on a throwing error from Jose Iglesias. Again, it should have been an easy out. Chapman strikes out swinging. Laureano singles on a sharp ground ball to right field. So now Canna's out at home. And again, this is the one where Rojas comes up throwing. So it wasn't a sack fly. I remembered it wrong. It was just a regular line drive to Jose. Guns him out at home. You know it saved a run. So now you kind of have the momentum. At this point, Matt Olson's up. And now you have, for pretty much two out of the three guys, they've hit the ball hard off of Myers. You have a lefty and Olson coming up. You have Watson available in the bullpen that can throw to lefties that has not been used that game. You even had Dylan Peters up earlier in the game that Madden looked like he was kind of questioning whether or not to bring him in, but he sat him down. And I'm just thinking at this point with two strong contact plays, you know, obviously both of them turned out to be outs, or one was an error, one was an out at the plate, but still you would think you might want to come in, bring in Watson the face, or yeah, Watson the face Olson, lefty versus lefty, but he keeps Myers in, Olson walks, and now you have two on with Chad Pender coming on the plate. Traditionally, and I was one of them, righty versus righty, you thinking, okay, Myers might have the advantage in this situation. Granted, he's been in there for over an inning now. Granted, he's been his pitch count's kind of up there for a reliever. Come to find out that Pender has better splits against lefties or against righties than lefties. So at this point, you would think Madden and his staff would have a perfect, you know, communication process to tell Madden, hey, this guy actually hits righties a lot better than lefties. Let's bring a lefty, one of our better lefties in Watson. Nope, Madden leaves him in. Next, and actually it's funny, it goes to a meeting on the mound, and Chad Pinder slams a home run, second home run of the year. Now it's 6-4, Oakland. And unfortunately, then the change came a little too late, because now Myers is still in. You have Jed Lowry single again off of Myers, who's still in there. And I think, again, this is probably two or three batters too late. Mound visit, Watson now comes in, strikes out Murphy. So unfortunately, you know, it just seemed at that point the energy was out of the ballpark. You worked so hard to get back into the game, take the lead, and it seemed like you left one of your relievers out there way too long to face the wrong kind of matchup, and that seems like what happened with Joe. And it got even worse for the Angels as, you know, Anthony Rendon comes up with two on in the bottom of the seventh, and you're thinking this is the guy you want. This is the guy that is or not two on, one on. This is the guy you want up in this situation with Ohtani on base. And unfortunately, he gets a hold of one, but as someone put in our chat here on Instagram, Roman Laureano absolutely steals a home run off the over the center field fence, which would have totally changed the game all over, but it didn't. They were able to survive that. You bring in Iglesias later in the game. Obviously, Raziel Iglesias has not been the best in non-save situations, and it shows it again in this game, giving up two solo home runs. So the A's end up winning 8-4 in a game that I really felt was very winnable, very in the Angels' hands, because, like I mentioned, the A's were running into outs almost seems like all game, where they were pushing the tempo, and the Angels were able to react and get them out at the plate, or get them out trying to stretch, you know, a double into a triple, or going first to third. It just seems like the Angels weren't able to capitalize. And when they did, the bad bullpen showed up. And you'll see on today's game, Sunday's game, the good bullpen showed up. So it's just, again, one of those things that keeps on happening is that you just don't know what bullpen is going to show up. And unfortunately, it seems like the bad bullpen shows up quite a bit more than the good bullpen right now in the Angels season. It just has not worked out for them. It's just, you feel bad for Jose Quintana, pitched a really good game, looking for that first win of the year, left with, and you know, in a good situation, not great, but good situation if Myers can get out of that inning without giving up those two runs. But then again, you know, Angels had the lead again that later that inning and weren't able to hold it. And on Instagram, aside from the players not performing up to par, Artie can give a bleep about how we're doing as a club. He is the new Frank McCourt. Well, at least Artie isn't bankrupt, so I guess there's that going for him. So owners are owners. I mean, owners look at this as a toy. I don't know what's a good owner as far as, you know, it just seems like when teams do good, their GMs and their scouting department, that's the part of the team that gets the benefit. You don't rarely hear, oh, they have a great owner. So I don't know what defines a good owner. I just see good teams having good GMs and good scouting and able to find gems and be able to develop players. To me, that's what a good team has, is a really good farm system, a really good eye for guys that are kind of discarded, or maybe they find guys that are cheap and they can tweak one or two things. The next thing you know, he's a legit, you know, contributor to a team. I don't know if that's necessarily in the owner's part, but I understand. Was at the game today. Amazing atmosphere. The stadium went crazy when Ohtani emerged from the dugout. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but let's get to Saturday's game real quick. Obviously, Saturday we had Patrick Sandoval making a second start of the year for the Angels. He went 5 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. So again, another not a bad outing by a starting pitcher for the Angels. But you know, again, the bad bullpen shows up, giving up 2 runs, Sandoval did, but then you got Claudio Strickland and Junior Gara coming in for a total of, 4 innings and giving up 4 runs to lose this game 6-2. You know, it just seems like once it starts rolling downhill, the Angels have a hard time stopping it. And that's kind of what happened here with, obviously, Sandoval gets up 2, so he doesn't help the situation at all. But when you go 5 innings with 2 runs off a pitcher that is still kind of being stretched out right now, Sandoval isn't what I would call in mid-season form by any means, but he still gave you 5 innings, 2 runs. You would think with an offense like the Angels, even without Mike Trout, you have Ohtani, you have Jared Walsh, you have Rendon, you think they would be able to produce a little more, but it's hard to produce all these runs when your bullpen is consistently giving them up. And I don't know exactly what happened to Hunter Strickland. When he came over, he was supposed to be a guy that was going to help this team's bullpen, help this team in the in key situations. And he just has not been that since coming over. I don't know if he's just because he got moved to the Angels, and maybe because performance-wise, the Angels aren't where the Rays were as far as competing. I don't know. But he's a guy that I think was looked at to help this bullpen, and that's he has not by any means helped the bullpen at all. But Saturday, Ohtani gets 2 hits and RBI. But other than that, you know, the offense goes really cold. Another hit by Lagares, 2 by Fletcher. But other than that, you know, the offense just gets really cold, only able to generate 2 runs. And the Oakland A's were able to win this game 6-2. And so that goes into Sunday. Artie has dropped the ball over and over again when the owner never commits to winning and has late every winner and chooses when has-beens. I mean, I don't know if Rendon's a has-been. We'll see how that's going to play out. I think that's still early about that, but I think there's no doubt about it. Artie is super infatuated with names, and I think that's why he got Joe Maddon, which I don't know if that was the best hire, and that's why he got the Pujols, but that was a whole business decision behind Pujols as far as getting a big name like Albert Pujols helped the Angels get the TV deal it has now, which in turn probably means you're able to now re-sign Trout to the big deal he has. So I think the Albert thing for on the field wasn't great, but if you look at the big picture of the business part of it, that Albert signing with the Angels getting that huge TV deal to get the extra money led to, without a doubt, them being able to afford Trout's extension, you know, obviously one of the highest paid players in baseball. I don't think that happens without the other. And then you look at Forbes put out just recently a like top 5 or top 6 value teams in Major League Baseball. And the Angels weren't on that list. So for everyone that thinks that they are a quote unquote big market team, I definitely don't see that. I don't think they're a big market team. I think the worst thing the Angels do is trying to compete like they're a big market team, and they can't afford to eat up mistakes like the Yankees can or like the Dodgers can. I think, honestly, the Angels' best, and fans aren't going to like this at all, but I think their best road to being competitive is doing the small market thing. Is just, I don't know. I just think the Angels aren't as big as a lot of people think they are. What pitcher will we get next year? I don't know. We'll have to see how some of these guys do. I mean, there's not a lot of big names that are going to be out in the free agent market. I guess the biggest one would be Syndergaard. But again, I mentioned this last week. He has yet to pitch in a game this year recovering from Tommy John. So even when he does come back, which is going to be mid to late July right now, that's kind of what they're talking about right now. And that could change easily. But even if he comes and struggles the rest of the year, coming back from Tommy John, do you trust that and investing a lot of money in that guy? And that can come to, again, already loving big names, already loving, you know, throwing money around for huge names and not being able for them and them not producing like you expect. And that can very easily happen with Syndergaard, where, you know, he might have a good, you know, second half of the season, but you just don't know how that's going to react after that Tommy John surgery. As much as it pains me, we need to trade Rendon and Ohtani. No, we don't. That's just super over-exaggerating. They've been trying to keep up as a big market team when they're obviously not. That's why they should have rebuilt 5 years ago. I agree. I think they should have rebuilt a little while ago. Obviously, after 2014 and it didn't work out after the division, I think that's probably the time you would really look at a rebuild in that situation. I don't think I don't think they ever really truly rebuild like a lot of teams do. They try to rebuild and be competitive, which is really hard. And you're seeing that now that the Angels trying to compete and rebuild at the same time. It's really hard. You have to roll the dice on some players, and you have to hope. You really have to hope that, you know, they come up and overperform their contract, and that has not happened with the Angels at all. There are a bunch of pitchers next year. We're the anti-Moneyball team. I don't know if there's a bunch of pitchers next year, but as far as frontline starters, going in or being a free agent next year. I do not see that at all. Again, there's like one or two guys that are probably going to get huge offers, like Syndergaard and the guy from Washington, Matt Serger. But other than that, that means you're talking about guys that are really old. Don't know if, you know, at a certain point they're going to start coming down off of that. And it just doesn't seem like the Angels can afford to take a huge gamble on them. But, you know, there's always going to be free agents. Obviously, that's just how it's going to work out. But I just don't think there's a huge, huge number of free agents that are going to be like I mentioned, shut down front end starter types that are going to turn your team around. I mean, I'm sure they'll be okay. Artie's ego won't let the Angels become a big market team. He wants to be the one and only owner. Yeah, I mean, that's his right. I mean, it's the ownership. I mean, can't fault him for that. Should the Angels sign Ohtani to a long extension or wait until next year? Well, they have him for 2 years. I say wait. There's no reason to sign him for an extra long extension. We don't necessarily have to. Angels aren't a bad team. They're just super inconsistent. I think that's very obvious that they are very consistent because they are putting up some good totals and they are having some good pitching performances, but it just seems like they cannot piggyback a good pitching performance starting wise, piggyback it with a good bullpen performance and vice versa. It seems like Sunday with Dylan Bundy, and we'll get to that one right now. Dylan Bundy goes on the mound, goes 2 1/3, gives up 5 hits, 4 earned runs. But after that, you have the bullpen pitch the whole rest of the game, only giving up 1 run. And that 1 run wasn't even earned. So it just a throwing error again off of Watson. He got hit in the arm and tried to rush a throw. So it just seems like the Angels are very inconsistent as far as, you know, the bullpen game. A bullpen has a really good game, one game, but then can't. The starting pitching doesn't seem to help them at all. And then vice versa, the starting pitching has a really good game and the bullpen does not help at all either. So it just seems like this team is very inconsistent. West Side for life, Boski. Would you make any moves to try to keep us close to contention this year? I wouldn't make it yet. It's still real early. Because anything you do now is going to cost even more than you if we were to get at the trade deadline. And there's nothing guaranteed. I still would wait a little bit closer to the trade deadline. Super inconsistent is bad. We're the best worst team though, hands down. Yeah, super inconsistent is bad. That's like a Captain Obvious commercial if I ever heard one. Yeah, so going back to the free agent pitching market next year, you have Zach Greinke, who is 38 years old, so I don't know if you want to go over that. Justin Verlander, 39 years old. Again, a guy that spends a lot of money. Kershaw, 34 years old. Max Scherzer, 37 years old. So when you say there's a lot of pitchers in the market next year, yeah, there's a lot of pitchers, but I just don't see any ones that you're going to want to build a team around or build, you know, again, like we're talking, you're going to try to build a winner right now, and if it doesn't work, you're back. Should we go sign King Felix? Is Felix Hernandez even in Major League Baseball right now? I doubt it.
You work hard and you play hard, so treat yourself and stock up for summer barbecues with Kansas City Steak Company. Visit KansasCitySteak.com and get 10% off your order and free shipping with code SD at checkout. From classic steak cuts to USDA Prime to American-style Kobe, hard-to-find specialty cuts, and more, Kansas City Steaks has everything you need to fire up the grill. They make it super easy. Each order from Kansas City Steaks is flash frozen and delivered directly to your home. Satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Imagine relaxing in the backyard with family while enjoying steakhouse quality meals from Kansas City Steaks. Try their butter tender filet mignon, Kansas City strip, juicy steak burgers, all beef jumbo hot dogs, and even a complete meal combos. Bring the steakhouse to your home this summer with Kansas City Steaks. Go to KansasCitySteaks.com and get 10% off your order and free shipping with code SD. That's KansasCitySteaks.com, promo code SD. Again, that's KansasCitySteaks.com, promo code SD.
Yeah, Verlander, Kershaw, Scherzer, Cueto. Again, these are all 36, 37, 34, 39, 38 years old. So, people, Scherzer for 2 years, that sounds great, but is Scherzer going to want that, or is he going to want to get more money? Again, It's great when you're sitting here as a fan and say, hey, just go sign this player for this much. But you have no idea what the player wants. The player might want 4 years. And then it doesn't really matter what the Angels offer them if they're not going to give them that extra couple years. But other than that, I mean, what? Alex Cobb is an Angel free agent. Danny Duffy. Corey Kluber, he might have a great year. He's going to be 37 next year. He might want to, after having a no-hitter this year, he might want to overcharge because he's only making $11 million right now. He continues to have a great year. You can look at that number to be up in the 20s at some point next year. These pitchers aren't good pitchers compared to the pitchers we have. These pitchers are good pitchers. They are now, but what are they going to be next year? What are they going to be? Again, I said this last time. These guys right now that I'm mentioning, Verlander, Kershaw, Scherzer, Cueto, 35 and up pretty much, except for Kershaw, who's 34. They are going to be on their way down at some point, obviously. They're over 35. The pitching staff or the players that they have right now, the Angels do, the majority of their pitching staff is like 25 and under. So at what point do you think that these, you know, Hall of Fame type of pitchers that are Kershaw and Verlander and Scherzer are going to degress enough to where they're going to be below the progressive or the younger guys that are progressing? So, you know, it's great to see these names, but for everyone that says that Artie just signs names and this and that, this would be doing the exact same thing and doesn't guarantee anything with, you know, these pitchers that are just, you know, like I mentioned, Granky's 38. He's going to be like 39. You really want a 39-year-old pitcher on your roster that doesn't throw hard at all? And granted, he might give you a couple of good starts, but do you think it's going to be for the length of the contract or be able to push this team into the playoffs? I would sign Scherzer and Cueto for 2 years with an option of third. Again, that's great, but if you're going to give them an option for third, there's a good chance that they're not going to want that option. They're going to want that third year guaranteed, and then what? I really want the team to have less errors going forward. Angels have had lost two games going has lost two games because of errors. Yeah, errors. They've had error all at least one error this whole weekend. It's something that needs to be cleaned up. Something that will help the team and probably honestly the pitching too, because when the pitcher knows that his team isn't going to make errors behind him, he's more likely to throw a ball that he knows is going to get, you know, a ground ball behind him or something like that. And it just does not seem to be happening at all. Let's be real. This was the offseason to sign pitching. There was so many young / good arms out there. The Angels dropped the ball. San Diego did one offseason. But the Angels, I don't know if this last offseason, I mean, you want to talk about trading players? Then yeah. I mean, Snell was probably the biggest name right now in the offseason. But it just, I look at who signed this last offseason. Trevor Bauer, obviously getting a ton of money. I think that was over. He was overpaid. Cody Rizzi, I think he's injured. He has not performed. Tywan Walker has not performed. Charlie Morton, you probably could have done a deal for him. He's been okay. But like who else? You know, Paxton is injured. He's out for the year. Richards has turned it around. Sure. Kluber, you could have made a deal, but he was already saying he was going to the East Coast. So Angels were never into that. So it's easy to say that they could have went out and signed all these guys, but when you start looking at the details and reading stories about what these guys preferred, Angels weren't involved in a lot of these guys because they just weren't interested in going to the West Coast or weren't interested in leaving the team they were on. I mean, that's just the sad truth. Can we move Upton and Bundy in a package for pitching? No, you cannot, because if anything, if you move those two, you're getting long shot type of players because you have to they're going to have to eat up Upton's contract. Unless the Angels eat up 85% of that contract, then maybe you get a good Odorizzi, Bauer, Kluber, Miley, Morton, Walker, Tanaka, Darvish. Darvish wasn't a free agent. That was a trade. Odorizzi is on horrible this year. Bauer is way overpriced. Kluber was, again, always going to the East Coast, never looked at a West Coast team at all. Tywan Walker, Tanaka, and Darvish. Again, Darvish was a trade. So that had nothing to do with it. Stassi trade while he has some value when he comes back healthy. Again, these trades that you guys are talking about aren't going to bring back a big prospect. I mean, you're probably going to get a middle of the road prospect that needs some development, and that's about what you can expect. Discofani for what, next year? You know, What did he end up doing? You know, he signed pretty cheap, I will say that. But how's his year? He's with Cincinnati, so I'm not 100. Oh, he's with the Giants. But yeah, I guess you could have signed him, but I had no idea who the hell that was before right now. I take any of those guys over anything we have right now. I think that's just being over dramatic. I mean, I'm just going to say it right now. So you would take any of those guys over Ohtani is kind of crazy, but I understand why the fans get all dramatic about it. But again, Angels win Sunday after coming back and then blowing the lead and then coming back again. Again, Ohtani was out of the lineup to give him some rest, which I think he needs to get more of. But I think, you know, him pitch hitting in a situation where he bases loaded late in the game, I think that worked out really well for the Angels, and he ends up getting a sac fly that would tie, and then later on the Angels would win. Later on, they end up, Angels are able to save one game against Oakland. 6-5 was the final score. Are you surprised that Dell and or Marsh weren't called up with Trout injury? No, I am not surprised at all. Adell is killing it offensively in AAA, but there's still some kind of defensive stuff he works on. He is playing both left and right field right now, so he's getting reps at that. Marsh has not played enough. He has played a week, 2 weeks worth of baseball, and he is technically nursing a sore shoulder right now. I was out in Vegas on Saturday and talked to both of them, actually. And Brandon didn't play yesterday. Brandon didn't play today. He's nursing a sore shoulder. So, again, these guys, you're not able to rush up. I think they're doing fine. But I definitely think you will see Joe. Joe is on a tear right now. I think he's got a home run in the last four games. He hit two today. He is leading AAA baseball in home run. But he is a all-or-nothing kind of player where he is striking out a lot, but he is hitting it's either one or the other. And I think the Angels want to see him be a little bit more consistent with his whiff rate and being able to put the ball in play a little bit more. Obviously, they love the power. Obviously, they love that part of his game, but they're looking for a little better, not striking out nearly as much as he is. And I think if you're striking out quite a bit at AAA, you know, obviously those numbers are going to grow a little bit more once you get to the major. So I think they wanted him to bring down those strikeout numbers in the AAA. And again, there's no rush for him. I think the outfield has been fine. Offensively, we've been fine. Offensively, you see they scored, what is it, 6 runs today. Since the Trout injury, which is pretty much a week now, it's going to be a week tomorrow, they score 7, they score 5. Obviously, they score 3 against the Indians in the one game, but then they score 7 against Minnesota, 3 against Minnesota, 4 against Oakland, 2, and then 6. So obviously, there's some games in there where they score only 2 or 3, but for the most part, they're scoring a lot of runs. It's still going to come down to the pitching. That's always what it's going to come down to. Oh, yeah, not Ohtani. He's the only one that's been good. Bundy has been good, too. His ERA/record doesn't reflect what he's done this season. I disagree with Bundy. I don't think Bundy's as good as he was last year. And there was news that came out today that Bundy has been nursing an ankle injury for the last 2 starts, and I'm guessing this start, too. But to me, you saw it with Ohtani. When his velo was down, he was still able to pitch and still able to get outs and relied on his command and relied on just kind of gritting through it. I don't think Bundy's that good of a pitcher to where when he's on, yeah, he can definitely work on some things and definitely get guys out. But when he's not 100%, and it showed today and it showed the last 3 starts, he's not the type of guy, as much as he would love to be the guy that grits his teeth and gets through it and is a team player and eats up innings, even though he's not 100%, I don't think he's that good of a pitcher to where when he's at 85%, he can get through a major league lineup without some major damage. And I think that's on Joe. And someone asked on here, how do you like Madden as a manager? I'm kind of not thrilled with it. I think Joe is kind of giving these guys a little too much of their own leeway. Like, I would love Joe to sit there and be like, are you healthy? No. Okay. We're going to push you back, or we're going to IL you just to get healthy. Because I guarantee you today, before this game, they probably went to Bundy and asked him how he's doing. And Bundy's like, I want to pitch. And whether that is a gut feeling that Madden had or what, but I think Bundy needs to sit down for a while. If this ankle is as bad as it looked today, as far as not being able to get through like 2 or 3 innings, he needs to go on the IL and get 100% healthy. Cause like I mentioned, Bundy's not that great of a pitcher to where If he's 75-80%, that he's going to be able to get through a major league lineup once or even twice without getting some major damage. So he needs to get healthy and come back as Bundy was last year, because that will help the team, not Bundy trying to limp his way out there, trying to be, you know, everyone's All-American, which is great. I understand. I can respect him for it, but it doesn't help the team because you're not that good of a pitcher. The Giants GM is killing it. Wish we could have signed him. Look at the Giants staff, and they're all on one-year deals, but we need to quit comparing, I guess. Got to give Paris. Yeah, the GM from the Giants, I think he had history with Tampa Bay, so he brings in that money ball, small ball, knows where to look for kind of things from Tampa Bay, which, again, Tampa Bay won with Joe, but they've been winning without Joe. So obviously Joe wasn't the main reason why Tampa Bay was so good. Obviously we can see now that is that front office that is doing the job for Tampa Bay, not Joe. How was your trip to Vegas? Any golf while you're out there? No, trip to Vegas was really fun. Turnaround trip. So we left here. Me and my wife left Riverside at around 12:30, almost 1 o'clock. Got into Vegas, got to the Las Vegas ballpark. And if you guys are ever in Vegas and ever want to check out a game with the Aviators, whether it's the Bees or anyone else, I highly recommend going to that stadium. That stadium is awesome. That stadium is state of the art. It is a beautiful stadium. Definitely check it out. But we got there, got something to eat, went into the stadium, talked a little bit with Brandon and Joe before the game, watched the game. Bees killed it. Joe hit a home run. Renjifo got like two or three hits. Really good performance all the way around. And then talked to Brandon a little bit after the game again. And then we left and came home that night, got home around 2:30 this morning. So not a lot of time for golf out there, but definitely one day will for sure. Should they fire Madden? I think you should let Madden kind of wait until maybe he wants to retire. I don't know. Cause if you fire him, you still got to pay him. And that means you're paying for him. You're paying for whoever the new manager would be. And then I think you're still probably technically paying for Osmus too. Cause I think Osmus they're paying for Osmus this year. That's right. Cause he had a weird bonus year. So right now you're paying for two managers, Madden and Osmus. And next year, if you fired Madden, same thing, you'd be paying for two managers. So I think you have to let him retire. If not at the end of this year, you're really going to have to seriously think about what you want to do with him. I can't wait to see Marsh and Adele in that same outfield. Yeah, I think those two guys are going to be a lot of fun to watch. A lot of excitement. Joe is a very business type of excitement. Like, he knows when he hit a home run. He knows when he crushed it. And he kind of pimps it out a little bit, which is fine with me. I love that. Brandon has a different kind of energy, but an excitement on its own. He is a kid out there playing a baseball game. If you've seen him play either in an Empire at Double A, you know, or any of these minor league stops he's had thrown along the way, he has a very kid-like appreciation for the game. So that kind of excitement he will bring to a team for sure. Different than Joe, but I think they'll still bring two different types of excitement for sure. Non looked great from all the highlights I could see today. Detmers and Non could be great as soon as next season. Yeah. And again, this team has a lot of young guys, and not only just, you mentioned Detmers, Naughton, you know, Brea, Sandoval, Canning, K-Rod, or C-Rod. These are all pitchers that are like 25 and under, which is crazy to think about. All these pitchers are 25 and under. So if you hit out of those five names I've put out there, if two hit and become legit with Otani as, you know, continuing what he's doing, that's a really good lineup or a really good rotation. You just got to hope two of those five guys hit. And if any more of those guys hit, then it's just gravy. But like I mentioned, they're all like 25 and younger. We're over here talking about the Angels should be signing these pitchers that are 30, you know, 4, 35, 36. And yet these guys are 10 years younger than them. So we it sucks. I get it. It sucks. We don't want to give them the time to develop. We want them to be good now. But let's look at it. All these guys you want the Angels to sign. Bauer was 30, 31 when he signed his big deal this last year. His 30-year-old season is when he won the Cy Young. These guys are still 5-6 years younger than that. Like, it sucks. I understand you want them to win now, but these guys are so freaking young. It's crazy. And everyone wants to say, let's get young pitching. We have young pitching. We just need to develop it. And that comes down to Madden. That comes down to the pitching staff. That comes down to Mickey not showing his, you know, his stuff to people and actually being able to coach out there. That's a huge part of it. Not just the players, but who you surround him with. And I just think the Angels haven't done a good job of that. And they tried, but then you got Mickey over here doing things, and now he's not even part of the team anymore. So you can't blame the players for that. Did I already miss when is Marsh coming up question? Yeah, Marsh, again, he didn't play yesterday. He didn't play today. He's nursing a shoulder injury, late to camp for family reasons. So again, I don't think you'll see Marsh up this year. I think you will see Joe Adell up at some point this year. My guess is mid to late July, especially if he keeps on producing the offensive numbers he has right now. Leads AAA in home runs. Naughton, Detmers, Ohtani, and I'm not ready to write an epilogue on his career yet. Yet many are. We need only to have to worry about two more starters next year. And you can get, you know, if Rodriguez comes back from this injury, he's supposed to be out on rehab assignment this week. We'll see where that's going to be at. But if he comes back and they stretch him out the rest of the year, has no injury problems, he could be a starter next year easily, or compete for a starting position next year. King Wong seems to have made some adjustments. Wouldn't mind seeing him get a longer look. Yeah, Wong is from what I remember, he's an infielder. But with Fletcher and Iglesias and Phil, the goose is loose, doing really good right now. Same thing with Rojas, doing really good right now. It just seems that that middle of the diamond is kind of congested for him to come up unless there's some kind of injuries. But Wong was actually looking really good when I was out there this weekend. I hope we pick up that Dobb high school kid in the draft. Major leaguers are already hitting him up on Twitter about his grips. I think it was McCullers who did that. Yeah, I mean, the draft's coming up. We'll see what happens. This will be Perry Minasian's first draft. And if you remember back to the Poto, he had a type. He liked the college hitters. He liked Theis. He liked Ward. He liked those guys that were a little more polished, maybe not as high of a ceiling as some of these like super athletic high school guys are, but he liked that type of player. And then you had the last GM, I forget his name. He wanted the athletic, young, high ceiling, low floor, unfortunately, type of player. And that's why you got Joe, Brandon, Jordan Adams, Jeremiah Jackson, like all these guys, and you know, besides Detmers, were all high school freak athletes that can do amazing things athletically, and you're just hoping they can put it together. So with Perry's next or first draft coming up, it'll be really, really interesting to see where he goes from there, who he drafts, what kind of player he drafts, and if he's going to lean one way or the other to either maybe a developed pitcher or maybe a high school pitcher that needs maybe a couple years, or does he go after a college guy that maybe only needs 1 year in the minor leagues and will be ready. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. Who can you see the Angels getting as a pitching coach next season? I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and act like I have a Rolodex of pitching coaches or anything like that. You know, so, I mean, they tried to do, obviously, the Astros are really good at pitching. They have some really legit pitchers. They tried to hire the assistant pitching coach last year with Osmus. He didn't do great. They got rid of him and brought in Mick Callaway. And obviously, he was supposed to solve a lot of issues. And then he got in his situation and not with the team right now, and probably won't be with the team long term after this year. So I don't know. But they need to find someone that has a system, someone that has a singular vision that can hold guys accountable and make them work. I just think we need someone young, and this even goes down to the manager's spot. I think Joe is a little bit too old for some of these younger guys. Some of the stuff he's doing, like, oh, you can show up when you want to and work when you want to, or you know, get work in here and there. Like, if you're a younger guy, there's no one really to push you there. You might need a little more disciplinarian type of manager while they're young. And granted, Pujols is gone, so he's old. He's gone. Upton is probably going to be gone at the end of next year anyway. So the average age of this team is going to be way down. I think you need a younger guy that can kind of hold these guys accountable but still kind of relate to them, because maybe he just got done playing 2 or 3 years ago and can help them that way. I just don't like the mixture of the coaches right now, managers right now. Mariners season is slipping away. What kind – What kind words would you say to another 2001 season funeral? Yeah, the Mariners are not looking good, but the Angels are not taking advantage of that by any means. As I look at the standings right now, Seattle is still a game up on the Angels, and that's after they lost six in a row. So it looks like they're going to be battling for the basement right now. Texas is coming into town Tuesday and Wednesday. They just got done winning three games from Houston in a row. So they are normally not that good, but they seem to be on some kind of a hot streak right now. So that's going to be really interesting to see. Do you see Ohtani winning the AL MVP? Definitely, especially if he can stay healthy and continue to bat at the level he is and be just a top five pitcher. He'll probably run away with the AL MVP easily. It's that time of the year again, and all eyes are now going to be on pro basketball and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline.ag has your betting action covered. In the NBA, the conference races are heating up as the teams prepare to make their push for the playoffs. And if baseball is your first love, like it is mine, BetOnline has you covered. If you love hockey, golf, MMA, and championship boxing, guess what? BetOnline has it all. Every sport, every game, every matchup. BetOnline has you covered for all the odds and real-time updates, and this is the place for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place and check in on all your favorite sports bets all the time. Head to the website or use your mobile device and bring home the game with BetOnline. Sports, culture, takes. TakeLine has it all. TakeLine is a weekly podcast hosted by Emmy Award winner Jason Compression and former WNBA champ Renee Montgomery. That's a fast-paced exploration of the NBA and the world of sports and culture. Each week, Jason and Renee talk about the games, players, conversations, and issues that run both on and off the court. Follow now to hear TakeLine every Tuesday wherever you get your podcast. We need more people working baseball operations. I read somewhere we have 10 to 20 fewer on the staff than the average team. Not sure if that's Moreno's being cheap or the GM slacking. I think, honestly, that comes from last year and you heard this a lot last year with the COVID season and the lack of income, that a lot of scouts were not able to travel to teams and scout players. So why keep them on staff? Which is unfortunate as hell, because obviously a lot of people, and just like in regular life, lost their jobs because of the whole COVID shutdown. But a lot of scouts and stuff like that lost their job because in 2020, you couldn't go anywhere. The only thing you can do is watch it on a computer or watch it on TV. And, you know, the GM and the assistant GM and maybe a couple of scouts can do that for you. You don't have to travel anywhere to see these guys. Now that the season is going, and June 15th, I believe, is when the Angel Stadium is going to be full capacity. And now, obviously, you're going to have more income for the team. Hopefully, this gradually allows more scouts to come back. But I think that was an already move to save money during the pandemic. I think once Perry got signed, he did bring in a handful of more scouts in. Obviously, not to the number that is somewhat average to the MLB, but it kind of butted up against the start of the season. And that's something you kind of want to do in the offseason. So if I had to take a guess, I think you wait to the off season, and then you probably will start seeing more scouts and more people like that get hired by the Angels. It was definitely a weird situation. I just think with the COVID, I think a lot of teams had to cut payroll somewhere, and I think unfortunately the Angels did it right there with their scouts. Should the Angels sign the Astros' old manager? They would, or they maybe, but he's actually in Detroit right now. He is the manager for the Detroit Tigers, and so I doubt he's coming to Anaheim. I know number one is getting pitched, but what do you think about the Angels trying to get some swag on the team and get bias? Just a thought. I mean, swag isn't the issue. Offense isn't the issue. They need pitching first and foremost. They just need a good defensive shortstop. Like Iglesias has been turning it around a little bit with the bat, but I think that position for the Angels and the type of pitchers they normally go after, they need a defensive first shortstop. And obviously Baez is a good shortstop and he brings a bat, but that means it's going to cost you more too. So if the funds and all that stuff if you had me divide the funds, I don't think I would really concentrate too much on getting someone like Baez, just because I don't think that's a necessarily a huge need compared to some of the other things. Who replaced Fabian for the Athletic? I don't think anyone did for sure. I don't think anyone has, not that I'm aware of. You said earlier the pitchers we have are all young and are in their early 20s. I think people on here want to go after veteran pitchers and maybe mentor the young people. But I don't, that's the thing I don't get about, how do you go and get these veteran pitchers if you're going to have to trade the young pitchers to get them? Now, granted, you can sign a couple free agency wise, but it takes a certain type of player to mentor a younger guy that's trying to take his job. Like, you see it all over sports. You see it all over, you know, Aaron Rodgers is having his old thing in the Packers because he ain't going to mentor the guy that's trying to take over his job. And, you know, Brett Favre before him. And it takes a certain type of guy that will mentor a guy that's trying to take over his position. And Serger doesn't seem like the type. Serger seems very get out of my way, young guy. That's how I see him. I don't know if he is like that. And same thing with Verlander. Greinke is kind of an aloof kind of person to all his teammates in general. You don't see him spending a lot of time with his teammates. So in theory, that makes a lot of sense, getting a veteran pitcher to mentor young pitchers. But I think that's really hard to find, because you're going to have to find someone that wants to do that. And I'm not sure if there's a pitcher out there hanging on for his job that he's going to want to mentor the guy that's going to take his job from him. I mean, I don't know. Maybe some of those guys are out there, but me personally, I think that's really hard to find, and it's easy to put out there and into the world and say this is what they need. I just don't think necessarily it's that easy to find, or if there's a lot of those guys walking around. Unfortunately, the Angels also cut ticket reps. There are only 4. Matt Serger next year. Hope they do it. I agree with the mentoring comment. Angels are so many middle infielders. These are the ones that need to be packaged with Adams, Marsh, or Adele for some pitching. Yeah, they do have a lot of middle infielders, but at the same time, they don't get a lot in return, because you can go out there and I'm sure you look at a lot of minor league systems, and I'm sure there's quite a bit of them probably have a handful of middle infielder types that can be packaged in some kind of deal. You want to look at the Snell trade to get a Snell from Tampa Bay this year. The Padres had to give up a really good young pitcher, and that's what they want. If they're going to give up a veteran type of pitcher with like 2 or 3 years left of control, they want a young pitcher to take his spot underneath him. And obviously middle infielders, Adele, Marsh, Adams, those are not pitchers. So it's easy to sit here and say, we'll give you 2 middle infielders and an outfielder for a young pitcher. But I don't think teams are going to take that at all. I do not think teams are going to shake their head and say, no, we can find someone of value to play those positions easily. What pitchers should we target for at the trade deadline? I honestly think at this point, Angels might be the sellers of the trade deadline if they don't switch it around quick. I don't think they buy right now, because there's no guarantee of anything happening as far as them climbing up through the division. I mean, they're 7.5 back of Oakland. I definitely don't think they're going to make the wild card. You have Boston, Tampa Bay, and the Yankees that are all 28 and 29 wins. I think those are probably going to be your favorites to get. I think the East is going to get 3 teams, so which means the West is only going to get 1. And I don't know if I feel comfortable right now saying that the Angels are going to win the division, just because they're 7.5 games back with not a whole lot of momentum going for them. They have a negative 50 run differential, which isn't great. You're looking at Houston, who has a plus 59 run differential. Oakland's weird. They have a negative 11. I don't know how they're still holding on, but they are. But the negative 50 is pretty much almost the worst in the American League. The Detroit has a negative 58 run differential, and Seattle has a negative 52 run differential. So the Angels are down there, and I don't necessarily see how they're going to come out of it. I don't understand how Hunter Strickland was a setup guy for the Giants and Rays, then do poorly with the Angels. That's the same thing I'm saying. I don't understand what happened with him there. I honestly don't think that makes a lot of sense. Chris Rodriguez, Jackson, and Adams for Means. They weren't willing to trade Rodriguez for Snell. I doubt they're trading Rodriguez for Means. Rodriguez is super controllable. You're talking about 6 years of control, a young pitching prospect for John Means. I mean, Means is fine. Means is good, but I don't, you know, unless Means turns into a Cy Young type of guy, I don't necessarily know if that trade makes sense. Just the fact that they had Chris Rodriguez. People asked for Chris Rodriguez in a lot of these trades this offseason, and they weren't willing to trade him now. And then, and now they can actually see what he can do. I don't think Angels are going to go anywhere near that. And I don't think any professional guy that does this for a living would even go near that. Playoffs will be tough as hell. We need pitching, and this staff isn't winning a playoff game against elite teams. Rodriguez is great when healthy, but that's the issue. He isn't very healthy often. So why would you're making a case, which is true. He has had health issues. So why would Baltimore take him? If this is all true, why would Baltimore say, you know what? He hasn't been healthy. Let's take him anyways, and let's give him our best pitcher. That doesn't make any sense. So I think if you can make a point to where against your own trade proposal, I don't know how that works out. But we'll see how this team goes. Again, they end up taking one of three from the Oakland A's this weekend. Should have won two. Truthfully, should have won two. I think there's been some mismanagement of the bullpen. And granted, everyone loves to say, put the players out there and they need to perform. If that was the case, if it was easy as telling a guy to go out there and say, hey, go pitch, why are we paying managers? We could put a fan out there and do it and it'd be fine. Like, obviously there's something behind it. So they need to be able to get some of those games in hand when they're up late and are able to obviously, you know, hopefully put a bullpen out there that won't blow a lead, because the same thing that cost them last year, the same thing that seems like it's been costing them this year. And that's the blown bullpen situation. And, you know, starting pitching, you know, without Bundy's situation today has actually been fairly okay. You know, they've been doing okay. It's that back end of the bullpen. So we'll see how it goes. They are rebuilding, and those type of teams are normally willing to take chances on those high upside guys. They would get three really high upside guys for one starter. Yeah, Means is 28 years old, so it's not like he's old. So he can still be around during the rebuild. So, you know, I still don't think that makes any sense. Use that pool's money, try to get Upton off the books, and just spend the hell out of it in the offseason for pitching. Pujols money does come off the books. I doubt you're going to get – if you can't get Pujols off the books early, you're probably not going to get Upton off the books either. That's the sad part of it. Can we trade John for John Gray or Yermin Mercedes from the again, I don't think they will, at least not right now. If they will – if they turn it around and they make some serious headway in the division, and now all of a sudden you're looking at the trade deadline and you're what? four or five games out, yeah, go for it. But I think right now, with the direction the Angels are going and the direction the A's are going, I don't think that's a wise move, because now you're going to give up a lot of these guys and you're not going to have you're not going to have a season to where they can even compete for a playoff spot, because you're going to be so far behind. I just think, again, the best bet, the one that makes the most sense, like, again, yes, if Team X is willing to trade you their ace player for nothing, yeah, of course you take that. But the plan that makes the most sense to me would be, you have to let these guys develop. Everyone loves about talking about, we need young pitchers. We have young pitchers. We just need to get a staff around them to develop them. John Gray could be an interesting guy to consider if he ends up liking it here. He is someone you could bring back next season. Again, if he likes it next year, or here in Anaheim, I don't know. Talking to people that walk through that stadium on daily basis, and not just part of the stadium that we see, but the part of the stadium that the players see, and then walk through stadiums that the players see at other stadiums, Angel Stadium ain't that nice. I hate to break it to everybody fan-wise. Angel Stadium underneath, you can tell its age very easily compared to these nicer, newer stadiums. So, while in theory it's great to want to have guys sign with the Angels have a lot of stuff going against them right now to sign free agents. And I'm not even talking about the tax money where you sign a $20 million a year contract here. You sign a $20 million contract in Texas. You're going to get a lot more of that $20 million in Texas than you are here. So there's a lot of stuff going against the Angels in that situation. And you have to hope, you have to overspend for guys to kind of make up the difference or give them that extra year to make up the difference. And you're really going to have to hope that they perform. Angels clubhouse is very nice though. Nice compared to what? Now, nice compared to Tempe Diablo? Absolutely. But again, we're talking about where they work out, where they eat, where they, you know, batting cage, all that stuff. And again, I've known people to walk through there on numerous occasion and say, hey, this isn't as nice as Safeco. Hey, this isn't as nice as PNC. This isn't as nice as these newer ballparks. And for what it's worth, you know, if you're a guy that is a free agent and you just kind of want to see where you're going to play most of the time, and you see this and you see that and you see the state of the art training, you know, room with all the gadgets and all that stuff, that might make you lean one way more than the other. And that makes perfect sense. So hopefully the stadium issue comes up really quickly, because I think a lot of people are, you know, I hope a lot of these fans realize that maybe tearing it down to build a new stadium is going to be best for the Angels. It's not as nice as Dodger Stadium. Compared to Oakland, is nice as hell. Yes, compared to Oakland, everything is nice as hell. Absolutely. So that's why, again, how many times do you see Oakland sign big name free agents? They lose all the free agents. So, I mean, that kind of goes hand in hand. Have you seen the batting cages under the 230s level? It's awesome. Great. That's one section of it, which is fine for the fans. They do that for the fans. I'm talking about walking through the tunnels, like from the dugout to, you know, the bullpen. And again, these are people that I've talked to that have walked through numerous stadiums in baseball. Not just Angel Stadium three or four times and say it's pretty because it's the only one you have to compare. I'm talking about walking through numerous ballparks in numerous states that are a lot newer, a lot nicer, and a lot more upgraded than the Angels. I'm sure the Angels have some stuff that they can really polish up and make look nice. But, I mean, it's like the third oldest stadium in baseball. And if you don't think there's some oldness somewhere down in there, you're absolutely crazy. But with that being said, hopefully we get some news about the stadium. Hopefully we can see what's going to happen with this new stadium now that Artie spent all his money on that. Tunnels are rough for sure, but it looks like many other tunnels. Petco Park tunnels are really rough, and the visitors clubhouse at Petco Parks are the smallest. Who cares about the visiting park, visitors clubhouse? If you're trying to sign a guy, you don't want him to see the visitors clubhouse. If anything, make it small. Say, hey, when you come visit, this is the clubhouse. You really want to sign with another team? Make the thing as small as you can. I mean, we're not talking about the visitors clubhouse. The stadium should, by the way, more interactive by now. It's 2021 Angels and stuck in 2016. Yeah, the best thing the Angels got going for them right now with the stadium is the scoreboards that they put in a couple years ago. Other than that, you know, you can't really – I mean, for a fan, you go to Petco, it's a whole different ballgame. But we'll see how that goes. Like I mentioned, Angels off on Monday, two-game series against Texas. You have Andrew Heaney pitching on Tuesday, and then you have Griffin Canning pitching on Wednesday, and then the Angels go up to Oakland in the dump that we call the Coliseum that we talked about a little bit earlier for the weekend. And hopefully we're able to play the A's a little bit better there. Off topic, but the food selection in the stadium is awful compared to other parks. Yeah, I've noticed that too. It hasn't been great, and it's kind of been going downhill for a little while. I did that with my class a couple years ago, and I know what you mean. Tunnels are going to the ballot cages and dugout need some work. Yeah. So again, and then it's hard to compete with all these new stadiums that are popping up. It seems like every year there's another stadium. Last year you had the Rangers' new stadium. What, the year before that you had Atlanta's new stadium. It just seems like these new stadiums are popping up left and right. And if Angels want to compete, and that definitely helps. You make something pretty and you offer to someone, that's definitely going to help get some new free agents. So like I mentioned, we'll be back on Wednesday night after the 1 o'clock Rangers game against Anaheim in Anaheim. So until then, I will see you Wednesday night. Have a great one. This has been another edition of the All Angels Podcast.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.